Welcome to Recruiting Intel, the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel powered by InsideTexas.com. I'm Joe Cook, got Justin Wells, got Coach Dub. We're here to talk recruiting. And, you know, it is one of those times of the year where recruiting is starting to slow down a little bit. We had some conversations, but that doesn't mean that we're going to, you know, be without action. There's going to be some news. There's going to be more. Make sure you like this video. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. We'll get all that recruiting news to you from here. Of course, if you've not done so yet, make sure you go to InsideTexas.com. Join for just $1. That gets you access to all our recruiting intel, gets you access to the best community, all the best team info, everything Inside Texas does so well, you get for just $1. And you will be able to get a full year of access to The Athletic. So go join for $1. That is the first link in our description. Another link in our description, you're going to want to check this out. Thinking Texas Football from our guy, Paul Wadlington. Every position, every player, every opponent, every SEC team. A look at the landscape of college football and a look at the 2025 recruiting class from Eric Nolin. Links in the description. Go check it out. And this is how you get ready for the year. But let's talk about some future players or prospective future players, I guess, is how we're going to have to term it. At this point, Jake Krull, however you want to pronounce it, picks Oklahoma. That leaves Texas, Justin, with just Richard Wesley in the class as an edge right now. They don't want to just leave themselves with one. They'd probably be okay with just one, but we know they're going to try to look for more. And we had a little bit of insight over on Inside Texas today about who else they might look to add along with Richard Wesley.
Yeah, you said it. They could be okay with one edge in this class. They're really, really deep at that position within the program. But do you want to do it like you did Sadir Mitchell a few years ago? Do you want to just take one, and then if it doesn't work, like you wind up scrambling for the next two or three years to add a couple on the back end? Mm-hmm. You don't want to do that. And so, yeah, they're going to get two. They're going to bring in another guy. It's going to be a flip target. Mute.
It'll be Buddy's favorite, right?
Go ahead.
Well, I'll throw it to
yeah.
Buddy has his opinions on not Buddy. Rubble has his opinions on what's going on with Texas recruiting. But Charlie, you identified, and you and Eric kind of identified a few guys Texas may work on. All of them are currently committed to SEC schools, but mm-hmm. That hasn't stopped Texas before.
No, it never does. I mean, you look, and some of these one in particular has a pending official visit this fall. It would be Landon Barnes. And so you just never know if it's going to confirm if he's actually going to take it. But they're going to continue to recruit to the whistle. There may be a late senior riser that you never heard of who may get on the board. Just like you said, you never know. I'm a big fan of this guy. He's already committed. I know he's committed as a linebacker, but he's had some Brad Spence-type tape at edge, and Kosi Akpala, who also can rush off the edge. So you got a multiple of guys who can do different things that you already got committed into the class as you continue to recruit this 26 edge class throughout the rest of the year.
I like Demond Lewis. Texas is still in that recruitment. He's had great tape since the spring. We just didn't hear much about him or much from him, or there's just not a lot there. But that's the one I think Texas fans should probably look at a little bit closer, because if that's a kid with a lot of upside. But I love Landon Barnes. Like if you can put him in this class, you not only keep that pipeline to Duncanville, you get one of the best edge guys in the state. Mm-hmm. High motor, very active, very aggressive. They'll take another, but they are in no hurry.
Coach, I know Landon Barnes committed to Ole Miss. It's a big get for the Rebels. But who are some of the other schools that were talking to him maybe as his recruitment went on? Because I know Texas talked. I know Oklahoma maybe a little bit. Ole Miss came out and got it there at the end. But who are some of the other schools on him? And he looks like, you know, Texas is – I know they haven't differentiated maybe as much in recruiting those edge positions, but this guy looks like a great – buck at some point in his career.
Yeah, definitely. One school in his own backyard, and SMU was after him really heavy, trying to get him to stay home. And then he also had Georgia. And I think he took an official visit with Georgia, and Georgia came at them pretty hard lately, and Florida trying to get the duo from Duncanville, because, you know, I think they got KJ Ford. So they tried to pair those two up. But some more SEC schools minus SMU. So he had a bunch of suitors that came on late and really tried to get his commitment.
Remember Ohio State made that
push. He did take an official visit to Ohio State. You're right.
Yeah, made a big push.
Justin, anything to see with Richard Wesley, as far as you know? I know we can always kind of – we have to go through like, okay, we got to talk to this guy, talk to this guy, talk to this guy. And then Richard Wesley will rotate back up. But, I mean, we feel pretty good about his commitment status, especially after what Texas had to do in order to get him in Burnt Orange.
Yeah, so when you've got Derek Cooper taking a visit, you got other schools still recruiting Dia Bell. Yeah, you're always going to pay attention to those out-of-state commits. But I am not about to speak anything into existence with that guy. Right now, look, Texas and him are such a good match on the field, off the field, in the NIL era. Like, it's a really good match there. Not to mention the fact that he reclassified. And so, right now everything seems pretty status quo. I know some schools are still going after him, but look, for out-of-state commits, this is the rule. This is the way. They're going to take visits. Derek Cooper told Texas he's going to visit Miami. As long as these guys are upfront and honest and stay up with these coaches, it's never a problem. As a matter of fact, I think there's a trend. If you are a Florida-born running back committed to Texas, you have to take visits. Like it's in the rule book. Look at it, C.J. Baxter, Jarrett Gibson. You just looked it down the list. If you're from Florida and you commit to Texas, you still have to take a few visits before you sign with Texas and get to Austin eventually.
Let's talk a little bit about those guys who may be taking visits. You know, the signature doesn't happen until December. They're still, you know, they're committed. We don't have a lot of fears about other guys and where they're headed, but we got to know that they may take some visits. But before we talk about that, we got to talk Roback. There's only one way to describe Roback: best fit, best feel. For those who aren't familiar with Roback, they are completely changing the game with their incredibly comfortable activewear. Roback has released so many items within their new licensed game day collection, and it's our favorite. With novel polo designs and clean hoodie and Q-designs from some of your favorite schools like Texas, it's definitely worth checking out. Nobody else on the market is pairing these level of custom designs with this quality of activewear. Roback's everyday shorts or their Delta Performance pants are the perfect pairing as well. Both are super comfortable, have an elastic waistband and great fabric that's made to have the appearance of a nice short look, but the comfort for a day on the move. Roback has also been proudly leading the NIL charge, having signed partnerships with multiple college football stars like Quinn Ewers. They are becoming the go-to brand for college athletes across the country. Use the code TEXAS20 on Roback.com for a generous 20% off for all new customers through the end of this week. That's ROBACK.com and 20% off all performance polos, shorts, and more with TEXAS20. All right, let's talk about two players committed to Texas that we're not concerned about, but we have to acknowledge that they're going and checking out some other schools or are hearing from other schools. And the first one, the guy who's going to check out some other schools, Justin, that's Derek Cooper. Like you mentioned, he's from Hollywood, Florida, Chaminade Madonna Prep, big powerhouse down there, South Florida, Miami, 305 area.
You better say Hollywood or somebody on Inside Texas will lose their flipping mind. I want to know who put together his profile. Because that's the school is located in Hollywood, so I somebody messed that profile up at On3.
But that's 305, and we
305 Uncle Luke.
I know it's always tough to pull kids out of 305. Texas is able to do that, and Texas still has the official visit, but you don't really need the official visit help when you're going from Hollywood to Miami. He's going to take visits. He's going to see the Canes. But what's maybe going on with Derek Cooper?
The same exact thing we said was going to happen the day he committed to Texas. Miami is not going to let up. Miami, that's the number one running back on their board for the last 2 years. They've been building a relationship with him for like 18 months, and they have been super close with him. And so they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. They're going to keep pushing. I think the thing to recognize with Miami is that Texas NIL is significantly larger. And I think what Miami's going to do is they're going to increase theirs along the way. If they have a great year, I think they could match. I could definitely think they could match by the end of the year. But I don't think they're going to. And so that's part of this recruitment that people need to understand. Okay. Cooper loves being the only tailback in his class. Miami can't offer that. Cooper absolutely loves that. And so, again, Florida-born running back, committed, Texas, going to take visits. He let Chad Scott know he was going to see Miami. They know Miami's the school that's going to try to keep him close to home. They've been building an infrastructure offensive lineman. That's been part of their sales pitch to him.
Yeah.
And so, look, if Miami runs off a playoff-type season, this recruitment could get real interesting real quick. But I just I think the gap between Miami's offer and Texas' offer is big enough to where Miami would have to just go over the top, be fantastic to convince him to flip at this moment. And he just – there's so much about Texas he really likes. Look, and that official visit, buddy, that's an ace in the hole. Because when it does get hairy, and I promise you at some point it's going to get hairy. And when it does, that's when you use that. And that right there could wind up being the thing that – you know, Texas fans hated that Cooper didn't take an OV during the summer. This is going to wind up being better for Texas in the long run.
This one, Victor Santiago asked, does Texas have a backup for Cooper? I don't know. I don't think so. He was the only uncommitted running back that they had an offer.
They don't. There's no backup. Plan B. Ashton Rowden still hears from him a little bit. The new Boston tailback, Estrada from El Paso, still hears from him a little bit. But there's no backup. It's Derek Cooper or bust. The only thing I could see a situation if something goes sideways with Tre'Davious Ball in Oregon, which it probably won't. Something goes sideways with KJ Edwards in A&M, which it probably won't. And so I just don't see it right now. Which, you know what, Victor? We can name a backup target for every recruit we talk about. We can't with this one. We're not going to try to make one up, man. We can't.
I'm gonna push back a little bit. We can't name a backup for Dia Bell. And Coach, you wrote today that Dia Bell, he made a Rivals High School All-American team. He's locked in with Texas.
Yeah.
I think he gave some quotes to somebody from Rivals. I can't remember who. But basically, he still hears from other schools. And that one school is one that's in the SEC. But for aside from that, doesn't sound like there's anything to see really with Dia. He may pick up the phone, but he's not appearing on other campuses, and he's recruiting for Texas more than anything else.
Like any other top prospect, school's going to try. They're going to try until pen hits paper. And for Dia Bell, I can't blame him. I would too. But he's trying to build something in Texas. He's trying to build the guys he's going to be throwing the ball to, people who's protecting him, and the people who get the ball back to him from defense. So I think he's already the leader of the 2026 class. He's been that way for a very long time. And so I don't see him any chance for anybody else even remotely getting close to getting him on campus to even visit. I think he's locked in totally. But you cannot blame him for trying, because I would try to. He's a top prospect, top quarterback for a reason. And so, yeah, every school's going to try. Good luck, though.
And, Justin, that it's LSU. And that's also more about Dia and Raja and the whole family being very, very what's the right word? Nice, I guess. I can't think of the more fancier word. But being nice and being respectful in the process, you're showing me time. I will show you some time. But at the same time, he's a Texas commit, and he's wanting other schools to respect that as well.
Look, you're the number one quarterback in the country. If nobody else is recruiting you, something's wrong. Like, it doesn't matter that you're committed. Everybody gets recruited through the whistle at some point. With Dia, you got to like that other schools are still pushing. I mean, it's a good thing for Texas. It keeps them sharp. It keeps them making sure that connection is good. They don't take Dia for granted. Look, when you've got a kid in a class committed, he's going to be committed for 2 years before he signs. Like, you can't take that for granted. You got to keep them in the mix. And look, Sark, the worst case scenario, Texas wins the national championship and Sark and the NFL starts coming after Sark. That's when I would think, okay, maybe Dia would give a hard look at another school. But by that time, it's going to be late January, and Dia's already going to be on campus in Austin enrolled. And so I don't see any scenario right now. Recruiting's crazy. Anything can go hairy at any moment. But to me, that's the most solid guy in this class, the first guy in the class, and probably going to be the last guy in the class.
What a worst case. You know, worst case scenario is Texas wins the national championship.
Yeah.
And then they look around, because Sark and of course, if Sark takes a job, he would have the opportunity to look at the portal if he wanted to. But at the same time, they win a natty. Arch Manning doesn't go anywhere. But that's my only way that I think Sark would actually leave Austin. I think if he wins a national championship or two, I can see that NFL openings start to really grow. But man, we're not there yet.
And one other thing with Dia is that he's basically said, as long as Sark's there, I'm going there.
That's what that exactly.
And, you know, it's very much, we talk about champagne problems and first world problems. Like, if your problems are, dang, got to replace the coach because he won a national title. Yeah, fine. Exactly. You know what? That's a trade off you take. You know, that's what happens when you win a national title.
He may like Kenny Dillingham a lot. And when, if Sark leaves for the league and Kenny Dillingham takes over in Austin, hey, he might want to play for him too. You never know.
All right, I'm going to spring one thing on you guys real quick, but I think it's a decently easy thing to go over. On Three Rivals put out the rosters with the most former top 100 recruits currently on them. Alabama at 33, Georgia at 30, Texas has 27, and then it's a pretty wide gulf. A&M 17, a lot of that class of 2022 is filtering out. LSU with 15, Florida and Auburn with 13, Tennessee and OU only with 12, and then you get in the single digits, South Carolina with 9, Ole Miss with 7, Missouri with 6, Mississippi State with 4, Vanderbilt with 2, Kentucky with 1. Charlie, anything about this jump out to you?
Man, I don't know. That's a lot of recruits. I expect a Maddie. look, I mean, Saban built that. Kirby built Georgia, or he kind of took over for Mark Rick, but it tells you where we have come a long way. I know we always get good recruits, but, man, Sark has turned this program around. I don't know who's all on this list. I need to go check it out. But, man, to be third on the list, we're right there neck and neck. I think, for me, it shows that we're next in line. Maybe we can get that ring. Justin, maybe we can get two. Maybe three.
I'm a little surprised Tennessee is so low. I guess the Riley, it's been 3 years, 4 years since Norman for Riley.
Norman.
I guess I was expecting Tennessee to have a couple more. I was expecting LSU to have a few more, actually. That's an interesting thing. For the fact that Vanderbilt has more than Kentucky, my goodness.
So the surprising one for me is, you know, Texas A&M, that makes sense. I bet they had a lot more last year.
Auburn surprises me.
Auburn does. Yeah. I am shocked that Ole Miss only has 7. And some of this,
there's a lot of they do a lot of transfer
they
stuff.
They do, but still, you can still be a former top. I mean, Jackson Dart was top 100, and granted, he's on the Giants now. But the thing is that I see when I'm looking at this is this, like, who can develop? Who's made the most of their, you know, lesser talent? Missouri, they definitely have, and granted, there's some portal guys too. Elijah Drinkwitz has taken advantage of a very crappy schedule and, you know, his what Missouri offers. And Lane Kiffin has as well. If you only have 7 top 100 commits, you know, that's still only 7 players who are in that elite of the elite. And one of them, Center and Perkins, who's your linebacker edge. So, like, it's very interesting to see who's trying to do less or more with less. But I think the big takeaway here is you would definitely rather be – in the 25 and up range than you would in the, 10 or fewer range, I feel like. This is the big stars matter conversation. You got to have the Jimmys and Joes to make your X's and O's work. And if you have 27 or 30 or 33, it looks a lot different than if you have.
I'd be curious how Walter Nolan would categorize on that graphic. Would he be a couple years ago? Would he be for A&M or would he be for Ole Miss?
It's current roster.
No, I know current. No, I'm saying back then, it's like a couple years ago, how they would quantify.
Last year, they would have put Nolan on.
Nolan would have been guys.
And Jackson Dart, I think. I think he made it up there.
He was like a top 5 quarterback.
So it's you'd rather have of your 85 scholarship players, you know, 27 of them are from the top 100 in the country. Yeah, I think that's what you're looking for rather than having 4. So anything else or another good addition of recruiting intel? We're going to have to start moving more towards 2027. And, you know, I think at some point we'll get some official visits to talk about. So make sure you like this video. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. And, of course, go to InsideTexas.com. Sign up for just $1. Best recruiting insight, best team insight, best coverage, best community, and you can get a full year of access to The Athletic with your subscription. So go join us at first link in our bio and also or in the description, however, and then go buy Thinking Texas Football, Paul Wadlington's look at the 2025 Longhorns, every position, every player, every SEC team, every opponent, a look at college football, and a look at the 2025 class from our guy, Eric Nahlin. So, gentlemen, always a great episode talking recruiting with y'all. We'll see you next time on Recruiting Intel, the Inside Texas Football YouTube channel powered by InsideTexas.com.